You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies about how the words came to their rescue. The words appear in Scripture in one way or another. Hundreds of times you'll use these two words. And they are, trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways, trust. Trust. Now, we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are to blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting Him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. You'll trust them rather than the Lord your God. Because they're right there and they have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. some course, some class, some test. Or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, God, at this moment, I rest in you and you alone. If you're married, God, help my spouse and me to trust you. To lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you. I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh, how easy it is to disobey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? A couple in our church came to see me. She is probably in her late 30s. He is same age. She has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She's by now lost all of her hair through the treatments. They have 2 small children. Here sat her husband. Here sat this lovely woman, his wife. As they spoke to me in the most encouraging manner, I'm in tears. They're smiling. What an interesting reversal of roles. I'm the guy that's supposed to have the answers. And they sit here and they minister to me as I've rarely been ministered to, talking about what God is teaching them in the midst of the loss. Now, all of that will sound hollow if you're cynical, and some of you are, tragically. But if you still have a heart, you will realize that's where you want to be. the doctor says it's your wife or your husband or your mom or dad or you. Something happened in their lives somewhere that they determined they would trust God with all their heart and lean not to their own understanding. I asked the husband straight out, "Don't you lay awake at night wondering where all of this is going?" And his response was an immediate, "Oh yeah, there are nights like that." Then tears came as he said, "I can't imagine living without the greatest woman on earth." I mean, this is real life stuff. And I put my arms around both of them at the end and told them how much they mean to me, to us as a church. She still has stage 4 cancer. And we prayed. We talked about prayer in the midst of this. We discussed a future without her and the possibility of how God has the ability to heal her, can heal her, may heal her, and may not. He said, "To be honest with you, my greatest fear is knowing these children would be raised just by me. Because without this mom, I can't imagine how I'm going to be able to do that." True, honest words. But I trust God. I trust God. How good is that? Their circumstance hasn't changed. Unless God breaks through, the cancer will ultimately take its toll. And they trust God. And should the Lord choose not to heal her, and I have her funeral, I am confident his words to me will be through tears. I am trusting God on where to go from here.
Well, friends, I want to welcome you this morning to the Bridge, and no doubt some of you recognize that video from last week. If you were with us, you know that I shared that same one, and no doubt some of you are wondering why. My prayer is that in the same way that my wife Kim, I hope, sees every time she looks at the diamond on her hand, a new reflection of the love that I have for her that was behind the giving of that ring. I pray that when you see these gems from God's word and the application of his word, that you will take them in afresh each and every time. You see, today I share that with you to begin because it set up the perfect context for where we will go today. I want to remind you, we're in the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bible, I want you to open up and come with me to Hebrews chapter 12. If you're in the Bridge family, then you probably recognize that we're in the 57th week of our series entitled Hold On. And I'm building on where we were last week. We finished Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, and we saw there that we are to consider Christ in part by not only considering what he's gone through and what we have not, but we're to consider him in the context of the divine discipline that he displays and uses to develop us as disciples through his divine fatherhood and our son and daughtership in the family of God, if in fact we are in the family of God. Well, that conversation continues. The next two verses is where we will go today. And last week, I almost brought these two verses into the message because there's such a drastic shift in the tone that I felt last week like maybe you should have heard them put together. But as the Lord has led me, I stopped where we did, and I bring to you today just verses 12 and 13. And my prayer is, by using that opening Charles Swindoll video, that it will reconnect you to our context, to see the love of God in the discipline of God that oftentimes comes to us through the difficulties of life. Now, I say all that to say this. Let me ask you a question before I pray. When was the last time you had a tough love discussion? When was the last time You had a divine discipline, tough love conversation. I ask you because that's what we're going to have today. Would you pray with me? Lord, I come to you now and I ask you to prepare me as a vessel that will share your truth and love, and prepare those who will hear your truth and love. I pray you'll work in all of us. And it's my prayer that your glory will be elevated as your grace is explained through the tough love of this discussion that centers on the right application of your divine discipline. Lord, do in your people what only you can do, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I tell you as we begin that today is one of the messages that is more caught than taught. You'll see there's not a lot of complexity here, although there will be a great deal of challenge. Let me read for you Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, our text for today. It's God's word that says, therefore, which now points us back, because we've considered Christ, we've considered what he's gone through, we've considered how little we have gone through, and we've considered now the discipline that he applies to us as a father to his children. Therefore, lift your drooping hands, and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet. So that, here's the purpose, so that what is lame or broken may not be put out of joint, may not be permanently broken, but rather it will be healed. Praise God. Therefore, lift your drooping hands, Christian, those of you who claim Christ. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet. So that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather will be healed. Friends, here's the big idea for today. Biblical faith accepts and applies divine disciplines, difficult conversations. That you and I will accept and apply the tough love discussions that come out of divine discipline. Let's take a look at this. And I tell you on the front side, three simple points. Responsibility, restoration, and redemption. Praise God. Responsibility, restoration, and redemption. Here we go. Therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, it's to get our attention for the application for all that we have already learned. That we will embrace the trusting of God, the loving of God, no matter what. No matter what. And here we go. Lift your drooping hands. That's to say, friends, that if you've been half-hearted, you've been lukewarm, you've been giving the Lord the crumbs, the leftovers, you're not really zealous to worship him. You're not zealous to come and be shaped by his word. You're not passionate about being his people. Now think about it. This letter is being written to people who are drifting, disconnecting, living distracted lives, diluted lives. They're beginning to disobey and rationalize it. You'll see in a couple of weeks, we're going to get to the last warning. They're flat out denying and defying Christ. Now, before you check out on me, I want to ask you, how passionately are you living for Christ? Because I'll tell you what, I live in a context where there are too many people with drooping hands and wobbling weak knees when it comes to worship. And everybody's got an answer. Everybody's got a reason and a rationalization. I know people that used to be in our body that champion drooping hands and weak knees. And they create these crowds of rationalized acceptance. Oh, it's fine. You don't have to lay down the sin that so easily entangles, and you certainly don't need to lay down those encumbrances. My goodness, that Jeff, that Bridge, those true Christ followers, they're over the top. Well, it says right here that you and I are to lift up those drooping hands that are rationalizing away a lukewarmness, a grumbling, a check off the boxes obligation. I wonder how many ways can you see your hands drooping? Again, this is tough love to wake people up to worship, to really walk and work and witness to the glory of God. He's worth it. That's the point. Divine discipleship is going to involve divine discipline. And that's how the Lord deals with drooping hands. That somebody will come and tell you the truth, lead you through and to the truth and love of God's word. He talks about strengthening weak knees. Again, it's a metaphor that describes those that are only calling it in, checking off the boxes, those with the have to rather than the get to attitude. Friends, it's way too popular in our time. This type of wobbly knees and drooping hands form of Christianity, it's an epidemic. I literally heard from people this week who said, oh, I know that you guys are on fire for the Lord, but that's not what I'm looking for. I ask you, when was the last time you had a tough love discussion that was centered in the love of the Father for you, a professing child of God? I pray to God that you're hearing him. Hearing him, here's an icon from the movies, just a quick couple of minutes to show you what, at least in Hollywood, a tough love conversation might look like. And I ask you to draw the parallel spiritually. And ask yourself, might I be this grumbling, kind of complaining, self-absorbed child who shakes their fist at the Father because living out a life under his umbrella could be difficult sometimes? Oh, may it never be so. And at the same time, may we learn from this little clip that you're about to see.
You know, living with you hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is gonna be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself, and this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor not to go through with this, okay? This is only gonna end up bad for you, and it's gonna end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah. In a way, you are.
It's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't going to believe this. But you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame. Like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life.
Okay, so I know that's Hollywood and it's not right out of the Bible, but let me tell you, there's a lot of strong parallels there. That's the way our Father is speaking to us here in Hebrews 12. He wants you and me, in the midst of our drifting, in the midst of our dilution, in the midst of our thinking, boy, it's really hard to be your son, your daughter, Lord. Do you not know what they're doing to me? Surely there's got to be a better way. He says, no, this is the way. I'm disciplining you. And you need to listen and you need to submit and surrender and accept the fact that my hand is on this. Why? Because he wants you and me to be able to speak to the world the way Noah did when the rain came. The way Abraham did when he was going up to the mountain with Isaac. The way that Moses did right after the Red Sea parted. The way that Caleb did after the spying. The way Joshua did going in to go after Jericho. The way Daniel did coming out of the lion's den, the way that the three boys did walking out of the furnace, the same way Elijah did when he was talking to the Baal boys, and the way Elisha said to his servant, "May your eyes be open to see." That's why God talks to us this way. That's why this passage is here. That's why you need people in your life that will tell you the truth. The false teachers back in the day and in our day, they will avoid this kind of difficult discussion, searching instead for the applause of men. Oh, may you want to be disciplined by the Lord. May you accept and apply these difficult, tough love discussions that are rooted in his discipline. Barnes said in days past, "A courageous mind braces a feeble body, and hope makes it fresh for a new conflict." This is what the Lord's doing. He's saying, listen, lift your drooping hand, strengthen your weak knees. He goes on, he says, make straight your path. You see the responsibility here? You and I know, Christian, that this life, it's all of grace. And at the same time, I pray you see the tension. You're being called to responsibility. In the same way that throughout Scripture, God brings this tension of sovereign grace and human responsibility. It's right here. You need to lift your drooping hands. You need to make strengthened your weak knees. You need to make your path straight. See the responsibility that will help you to not drift away, not become distracted, not become disconnected, not disobey and later deny and defy Christ. That's what's here. It's an expression of love because the Lord knows it's hard down here, but he's not done with you yet. And through all of the challenges, cling to Christ, hold on, no matter what. Again, I offer you through song an application that I pray will bless you. Listen to this and watch the stories. Hear the hearts of those who refuse to let their hands droop, who will not wobble and weaken at the knee because they know that their God, Jesus the Christ, is worth it.
Elliot's my fourth child. Basically, when they pulled Elliot out, they knew right away that something wasn't right with him.
I was working with troubled teens in a halfway house. I'd always wanted to be a pastor, but I'd always wanted to be a cop. That following spring, I was officer of the year in 2002.
There was a tumor in my brain. What 21-year-old wants to hear they have cancer?
15 or 16, I started struggling with an eating disorder.
It was my 12th birthday. I was turning 12. None of us heard the gunshot. We just heard my mom screaming.
I was sold into sex trafficking by my mother. I was 12.
They covered me with plastic, pronounced me dead. People meet me and they would never know all the things that I've been through.
I would overexercise, get meals, trying to keep the shell pretty. I still ran track, and every race I lost was because I wasn't skinny enough. I had that approval addiction. It took control of me.
There are days of taking more than I can give. And there are choices that I made that I wouldn't make again.
My parents had planned an intervention for me, and my family, now they're telling me that I'm hurting them. That started a turning point.
I had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. This has been the story of my life. I have won and I have lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not.
All of the lies that I had been speaking over myself and all of the pain from my past were replaced with who I am in Christ.
Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you
got through all of it.
This particular pastor called and he says, we've gotten these two young men who broke into a bunch of cars. We just need you to come and pick them up.
You were there when it all came down on me.
The two young men conspired to kill me, throw me out in the woods somewhere, and take off with my car and run. So I jumped on the hood, put my gun right up against the glass, and said, don't do it. It took off with me on the hood of the car. When I jumped off of the hood, I hit the back of my head, which immediately busted both my inner ears.
But in those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. This is how my story's always gone.
I had severe vertigo, panic attacks, PTSD.
I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not.
Everything that I had ever taken pride in, my strength, my abilities, all of that was gone.
Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, you have been my guide through all of it.
It was a really, really rough labor. He had a 9x6 centimeter cyst in the center of his brain. His head was extra large. We don't know if he'll talk. We don't know if he'll walk. My heart sunk. I had no idea that he would end up having 8 surgeries that year.
He hit me head on at 80 miles per hour. When the police got there, I was pronounced dead without a pulse for almost an hour. When they pulled the car from me, I took a gasp. I started breathing again. When I left the hospital, I was told that I'd never be able to have children, and they're not sure if I'd be able to walk again.
Trapped in a house with a man who abused me for 6 months.
I walked in and he was just on the floor. I just think it's crazy walking in on your stepfather shooting himself at 12 on your birthday.
To realize that I may never perform music again, I was almost more sad about that than having cancer itself.
And this is who you are, more constant than the stars up in the sky. All these years of my life,
I changed my attitude. I said, I'm going to give this to God, and I'm going to allow people into my life to help me. I can't do this alone.
I believe that God is a great physician. Even when I said I'd never have children again, I just didn't believe it. I'm walking, I'm running, and I have a child.
I've won, I've lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy.
That has to be because God is with me.
There's no way I could have got through all this just by myself.
I knew he was there, and as he rebuilt me, I regained all that I had lost without the arrogance.
I see how his hand has shielded me, and there's a purpose in that. Every day I'm living out that purpose.
Everyone been through a difficult time. I can do anything through Christ who strengthened me.
He's alive. Anyone who sees him thinks he's a miracle.
3.5.
In every situation, there can be joy, there can be life. What I thought was a death sentence turned into be my story and my life. I've battled cancer 4 times. If I trust in him, I can do anything.
Amen, friends. Amen. I pray you get this. When I said before, this is a message that'll be caught more than taught, this is what I mean. You see, if you don't understand this, you'll think that I'm coming at you as a hammer, that the word is coming at you as a hammer. No, that's not so. It's the Lord's love. It's coming as a helper. I come as a helper. The word of God comes as your helper. You're being disciplined so that you'll understand the love. This is not to keep you from being broken. This is coming because you are broken. I'm broken. That's why we're to raise up our drooping hands and strengthen our weak knees and make our path straight. Again, not to keep us from being broken, but because we are broken and he's the only way out. He's the only answer, and he's waiting for every one of his children. to raise those hands, to strengthen those knees, to make the path straight, that we could walk in victory with him. That's why he says, listen to the next word, so that, here's the purpose, so that what is lame, you are broken, may not be put out of joint, won't stay broken. That's the point. Because we're broken, we come to him. This is the part that I think so many miss. The Lord wants you and me to acknowledge who we are without him so that we can be who he's called and created us to be with him. To do that, we've got to acknowledge that we're empty. We're desperate. We have no hope without him. If we're going to know his love, then we're going to need to be changed, miraculously, missionally changed, eternally changed. It's going to require us to submit to him. When we do that, it's going to also require that we have a transparency, that we admit it, we show the world, and then we'll know the last part of the verse, that healing that allows us to testify to the world this truth and love that has set us free. Once again, I pray, bless you by bringing these points home with music. In the last 3 days, I've heard 3 new songs I had never heard before, and like dominoes, they dropped right into this message, and I pray that they bless you. Listen to the lyrics, I pray. Embrace these words. Hear them as though they're coming out of this passage in Scripture. And I pray that you will accept and apply the tough love, divine discipline discussion that may be happening with you right now, that the Spirit of God may be convicting you to capture you, to catapult you into victory. Let these songs wash over you, I pray, and lead you into a time of worship. You know, one of the truths of the Christian life is that the Christian life is not always going to be easy. And if you're anything like me, perhaps there were times in your life early on or even before you became a Christian or shortly after you became a follower of Christ when you found yourself embroiled in all kinds of battles, wishing that somebody had told you the truth, that if in fact you were going to walk in this truth and love as a Christ follower, that it would be difficult at times, that you would be neck deep in the battles that we know of as spiritual warfare, that you would be required to change, that the Christian life is all about change, that if you are going to know this love of God and live it out, that it would be a life of perpetual change and challenge. Friend, I want you to know that Jesus loves you, and that his discipline and all that he's done in your life and all that he allows to come into your life is for your good and his glory. I pray that in these next few moments, as you hear these songs, that the Lord will touch your heart and bring his truth, not just to the surface of your mind, but to the very depths of your heart. Oh, friend, know that Jesus loves you, that our Father in heaven is doing a work in you and through you, that he may bring his glory out to a world that is dying and in desperate need of him. Embrace this grace of change and refinement, I pray. Amen and amen.
I just need some time, I'm trying to think straight. I just need a moment in my own space. Ask me how I'm doing, I say okay, yeah. But ain't that what we all say? Sometimes I think back to the old days, in the pointless conversations with the old me. Yeah, back when my mama used to hold me, I wish somebody would've told me. If you want love, you gon' have to go through the pain. If you want love, you gon' have to learn how to change. If you want trust, you gon' have to give some away. If you want love, if you want love. As a kid I used to think life was moving so slow, I watch it go by. Look out the window of my bus ride. I thought the world was so small through my closed eyes. I've always tried to control things. In the end, that's what controls me. Maybe that's why I'm controlling. I wish somebody would've told me. If you want love, you gon' have to go through the pain. If you want love, you gon' have to learn how to change. If you want trust, you gon' have to give some away. If you want love, if you want love. The older I get, I feel like I'm always trying to save time. Talking to the voices in my head that make me think twice. Telling me it doesn't mean it's wrong because it feels right. I'm scared that one day I wake up and wonder where the time go. Talk about the past like it's the present while I rock slow. I'll sit in the living room and laugh with kids of my own and tell them. If you want love, you gon' have to go through the pain. I wish you would've told me. If you want love, you gon' have to learn how to change. I wish somebody would've told me. If you want trust, I'm away. You gon' have to give. If you want love, if you want love, if you want love, if you want
love. Oh, dear friend, I don't know if I'm talking to you as a family member in the faith or if you're a phony and a fake, but this I know, that if you are in fact in the family of God, if you are one who has been saved by grace through faith, then you're going to be challenged to be transparent, to let the truth of who you are come out. I plead with you, brother and sister in Christ, to blossom in all that you are, all that Christ has called and created you to be. Friend, be transparent. Allow the truth to come out. Don't try to live a lie or try to lift up and become something that you're not. No, the grace of God is enough. His grace is sufficient, and who you are in Him is more than enough. I pray that you'll be set free from any bondage or any chains or shackles that hold you to this misperception that you somehow need to be something that you're not. Oh, friends, bring your mess to the Messiah. Let our mess become our new message, that our misery from yesterday will become our ministry for today and tomorrow. I pray that you will be set free from any sense of bondage that lies from this world or lies from your past may hold you down to think that you somehow need to be beyond what God has called you to be. Oh, accept and embrace the grace of the gospel. Bring your mess to the table. Let us all embrace our weakness that we can know this victory that comes in Christ alone. Oh, that's my prayer for you, friend.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. Bring him.
Will we be honest? I pray that you will be honest with the Lord, honest with yourself, honest with an onlooking world, that you have been captured by grace, saved by grace through faith, and you have come to understand that that's enough, that who you are in Christ is more than enough. Friend, my prayer is that you will join the family of God, and having been healed with your honest heart, that you will recognize that you can and will testify to the truth that has set you free, that you and I can know that we've gone from hope to healed, that we were hoping on the truths of the gospel, and because we have, and by the grace of Almighty God, and for the glory that comes through His gospel, we have been healed, and this will be our story. Our story is the glory story of Almighty God through Jesus the Christ, who has set us free. We have been healed because we have accepted, trusted, and applied the divine discipline of Almighty God in and through the loving grace of Jesus the Christ. Oh, friends, recognize that you can testify to this truth and bring glory to God as a living, breathing example, an exemplifier of the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we go on acknowledging who we were, that God would get the glory for who we have become in Him. Amen and amen.
I was falling apart when heaven rescued me. Recovered my heart, I want the world to see. I can testify.
From the comforts of my home to a jail cell. They try to break me down, but their plan fails. I remember like yesterday, still clear as day, when I felt I had my whole future stripped away. Should've known better, I felt the heat. Speeding through the lanes, I was looking for the better me. Feeding my desires, ignoring my royal pedigree. Bloodline from the heavens, still slept in the penitentiary. But I was meant for more. So when you say the words I've written, touch you, it's the Lord. The pressure that I felt on me, don't feel it anymore. You sent me healing from above. There's nothing realer than your love.
I was falling apart when heaven rescued me. Recovered my heart, I want the world to see. I can testify. I can testify. I gave it my life, He gave it back to me. No longer the same, not who I used to be. I can testify. Testify.
Does God still remember I'm here? I need same-day delivery for some of my prayers. I close my eyes when my stress and anxiety flare. If it comes up like stairs, I know right on time my God will be there. So many blessings coming down, I don't know if it's real. We not scared, I just feel like we should've be here. But I'm prepared, I got nothing to fear. This is God's plan, young man, and not a career. This a calling, I'm all in, I'm done stalling. I'm done waiting for a better time to tell my story. I know there's power in the name, and He reminds me who I am. And even though I'm far from perfect, it never stopped His plan.
I was falling apart when heaven rescued me. Recovered my heart, I want the world to see. I can testify. I can testify. Whoa. I gave Him my life, He gave it back to me. No longer the same, not who I used to be. I can testify.
And again, I say amen and amen. I pray that these songs bless you by helping you to see that the tough love discussions that center on the divine discipline of God, it's an expression and an extension of his love for you and me, friend. See this. He wants you and me to be healed. That's the point, that what is lame and broken won't stay that way, but that through our lifting of our hands, the strengthening of our knees, the walking of the straight path, the surrendered life in Christ is the life of victory. And that's what the Lord wants for you and me. That's what he's calling us to. Again, this passage is not a hammer, it's a helper. And those that speak it are not hammers, but helpers, trying to bring you to that place where you and I can go into the world. Like the man in John 9 who says, listen, I was blind and now I see. His name is Jesus. That we could walk out like the one leper who comes back and says, thanks for not just taking away the blemishes on my skin, but for healing me in the inside out. That you and I would literally be able to walk like the lame man that got healed, that we would have those stains like the woman who was bleeding for all those years taken away, that we could speak like the Roman centurion of great faith about all that God has done in our lives. Note all of these people, all of the examples, the woman at the well, Peter, Philip, Thomas, Saul, who becomes Paul, they all come broken. And it's through their brokenness, through the acknowledgement, the worshiping, and the staying with, the submission no matter what, that's where and how their glory story gets told, that the grace of God is seen through the restoration that comes as they accept their responsibility, that ultimately tells the story of the redemptive work of Almighty God, so that what was lame will not stay that way, but instead, here's the last word, that you will be healed. That you will be healed, brother and sister. Understand this, that divine discipleship and divine discipline, they deliver the goods of God's grace. Divine discipleship, divine discipline, it delivers the development work of the disciple that God has promised. And ultimately here, you've been healed so that you can take the glory story of God out to the world. Divine discipleship and divine discipline deploys disciples to go make disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. Listen, it's in God's word that you and I would hear 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Don't get entangled in civilian affairs. Stay with what your commander-in-chief has called you to be. No matter what. That's why you've received the power that was promised in Acts 1:8, that you would be that witness. Go back to Isaiah 40, that you, in the midst of a world that is falling apart and breaking down, being weary and worn out, that you would be able to be lifted up with the wings of eagles and not grow weary because you're trusting in, you're embracing, you're becoming all that Christ has called you to be. You've acknowledged that, hey, listen, I can go out into the world like Lazarus. I can go out and tell the world, I was dead and now I'm alive. His name is Jesus. I've been born again, literally. Oh, that we would take the story of what Jeremy Camp has written, again, another song, that we were dead men who were walking, and we've been captured by grace, and now our hands will not droop, our knees will not be weak, and we will not walk the crooked road of rationalization. No, we're dead men walking to the glory of God, now born again to tell his story that we've been healed.
Freedom was something I never found. Trying to find 6 feet on the ground, under the weight of all of my sin, fighting the fight that I couldn't win. And you rescued me, and now I can breathe. I was a dead man walking until I was a man walking with you. I was.
deserve a thing, but that's just who you are. I was a dead man walking until I was a man. Walking with you, I was a blind man falling until I felt the light. You're calling me to put me out of the darkness and put me out of the lies. Let me be with my heart again. I was a dead man walking until your love is dead.
Well, amen again, friends. I pray that if you can sing that song personally, then you've come to recognize that this passage, Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13, what is clearly described as tough love, that you personally will say it's a whole lot more love than tough. Here it is again. Therefore, since we have considered Christ, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Be healed. Accept and apply divine disciplines, tough love, so that you will be healed, friends. Lord, I come to you now, and on behalf of those within the sound of my voice, I pray that not only what has been shared thus far, but the closing song that will take us into the week ahead of us, I pray, Lord, that each one will accept how weak we are without you, how weak we are and in need of you, how weak we are going into next week. And at the same time, we recognize that you're not done with us yet, and that as we embrace our weakness, we can harness your strength. That it's in you that we find our purpose, our promise, our power. Oh Lord, let the tough love of today become the tough love that will lead every single one within the sound of my voice to a closer, more intimate walk with you. Oh Lord, may we recognize that you're not done with us yet. And no matter what it may look like around us, that you are around all that is around us. That in you, we have the promise of being children of the King. And that there isn't anything going to happen down here that's going to ultimately get in the way of our promises and our position with you. May our drooping hands be lifted up. May our weak knees stop wobbling and start walking and working to the witness of your glory. And may our paths, may they be straight. May the rationalizations burn up. And may the passion for you overflow. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Standing in your ruins feels a lot like the end. So used to losing, you're afraid to try again. Right now all you see are ashes where there was a flame. Truth is that you're not forgotten, 'cause grace knows your name. God's not done. Broken heart and your wounds and your scars, God's not done with you. Even when you're lost and it's hard and you're falling apart, God's not done with you. It's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run, 'cause God's not done with you. just when he started. He's not done. God's not done writing your story. No, he's not. He's not done. God's not done with you.